Hello, podcast listeners. This episode you're about to listen to is from the 2022 Be More Digital Conference. If you like what you hear, why not join us at the 2023 conference? It is going to be held on the 9th of March 2023 at the Novotel London West Hotel. We would just love to see you there. Visit charitydigital.org.uk for more information on all things digital. Enjoy.
Okay, so a little bit about me. I'm Jen Lothrop. I run a teeny tiny organisation that's just me, called Feel Good Do Good. I mainly work with charities on kind of all different areas of digital, so like digital strategy, digital fundraising strategy, digital marketing strategy. Sometimes all those things mean the same thing. I'm also an agile consultant. So if you go to the digital hack session later, I'll be talking a bit more about agile, what it is, how it can help your charity, amongst other things. So I've been working in the charity sector for over 15 years. I've been running my business for, I think, 8 years now. Before that, I worked at Volunteering England, which is now part of NCVO. I worked at LSE, where I ran the Volunteer Centre. And various other things which I've forgotten because it was a long time ago. I am a bit of a self-confessed productivity and happiness geek. So my business is called Feel Good Do Good, and it's about making organisations happier and doing work better, and using digital in order to do that, which is where a lot of the agile stuff comes in as well. I'm also a travel blogger. She Gets Around is my travel blog. Had that for over 10 years. Once about travel and dating. Then I met my boyfriend, no more dating, just travel. also a co-working space owner, very small co-working space, 8 desks, and I live up in Derbyshire in Matlock, which is where my co-working space is. So I do lots of things. I like to do lots of things, but my passion and my love is digital and the benefits of how it can help charities and not-for-profit organisations. Cool. So today I'm going to be sharing some simple tips on what you can do in 25 minutes a day to build your digital fundraising. The reason I chose 25 minutes is because, as I mentioned, I'm a bit of a productivity geek as well. Do lots of things, somehow manage to get run all these different, juggle all these different things. And my favourite productivity hack is the Pomodoro method. Who's heard of the Pomodoro method? Yes, lots of people. Excellent. If you haven't heard of the Pomodoro method, it's basically where you work for a 25-minute chunk of time on a specific task, and then you take a 5-minute break, and then you do it again. I use this all the time, not every day, but probably at least 2 or 3 days a week. And depending on what it is I need to get done, I might just do one and be like, I need this 25 minutes just to like get in the zone. Or sometimes I do a bunch of them. And in my co-working space, we often do them together. So if you do still work in an office occasionally, it's a nice little thing to do with colleagues. You can, you're like, right guys, come on, we're gonna do 25 minutes. We're gonna put, stop our email notifications. We're gonna put our phones away. We're just gonna focus on the task in hand for 25 minutes. And then we can go and get a cup of tea and have a bit of a chat. And then you can do it again. And the amount of stuff that you can get done in 25 minutes, it seems a really short amount of time, but we're living in the distraction economy, right? There's a million and one things trying to take our attention. But when we really focus for 25 minutes, I genuinely believe we can get lots done. And if there's one thing you take away from today, it's this, okay? So what I've done is I've basically put together 10 things that I think could take about 25 minutes to do that can help improve your digital fundraising. So 10 things, 5 days in a week, 2 weeks, 10 things done, and I am certain that you'll have moved forward and improved your digital fundraising, okay? So if anyone wants to take the challenge and do all 10 over the next 2 weeks, let me know how you get on and how things go for your organisation. So before I start with the 10, I just wanted to share a few kind of general things that can help with kind of some of that setting up for success. Hopefully lots of you have heard of Canva. It's free for charities. If you didn't know that, get on Canva and get the free, the paid version is basically free if you're a charity. Make sure you're not paying and make sure you're not just using the free version. Get the free for charities power-up version or whatever it's called. So creating templates in Canva can make things much easier when you're like adding in content, branded content, have some templates ready. You can add in different images, add in different text, makes things a lot quicker. Building a content plan, I'm not going to go into the details of that, but obviously thinking about the key campaigns, key things you want to cover. Here I've put don't overpromise. Generally with social media, quality is better than quantity. You're better really thinking about what you want to put out there rather than just trying to put everything out there and like, oh my God, I haven't put anything on Facebook today and just putting something that you haven't even thought about. You're better taking the time to think about it before you're posting up. Build an image library, always something that charities struggle with. You know, get a photographer for a day, get those images stored in a really clear place, clearly labelled, worth putting the time in so you can just grab and get the thing you need. Clear roles within the organisation. So maybe you have a rota or different responsibilities. If there's just one of you, it shouldn't just be your job. There should be other people in the organisation able to help you. Or get some volunteers on board. Maybe you have different people kind of just keeping an eye on social media at certain days so you're not having to constantly check if someone sent a message or commented or anything. Try and spread that. The same with coming up with the ideas. That should be kind of a whole organisational thing. And then also creating a social media policy, which makes it much easier for everyone involved to know what you can and can't do, what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. Again, I'm not going into the detail of that today. I've only got 40 minutes, including some time for questions. So I just wanted, there's just some really kind of simple things that's going to take longer than 25 minutes that's probably worth kind of making sure you've got some of those kind of baselines, I guess. Okay, so on to the first one. I saw there is a whole session, I think, on personas. So personas are really important. A persona is basically kind of an imaginary person that is your core audience or one of your core audiences, okay? So it's a really great way to kind of get into the mindset of the people that you are trying to target. And the more you can understand your audiences, the better you can target things, target your content in the right way. An example of an organisation that uses this is a while ago, pre-pandemic, I went to the Macmillan offices and they had personas on the wall of it was like three or four key people that when they're doing their coffee mornings, these are the people they target. So that when they're putting their content together, they're thinking, oh, what would Janice want? Oh no, Janice wouldn't like that post, would she? That's not for Janice. So you're really kind of thinking, who are the people? A lot of it is based on assumptions, but you'll probably have some evidence. I often say it's worth sometimes kind of basing it on someone that you know, maybe a donor that you know, someone on Facebook that's always commenting. Don't give them the real name so that if they happen to find out, you know, change some slight things. But often there are key people that you know. The important thing is to be as specific as possible. Some people create personas and it's like young people age 12 to 25. Like, I mean, the differences in what a 12-year-old and a 25-year-old want are massive. Give them an exact age, give them a name, give them a job, give them as much detail as you can. This is a template. It's a really simple template that I use when doing personas. So some of the key things are along the bottom. So you've got what is it that the persona wants to do? So what is it that they're trying to achieve? Is it that they want to give to a cause that they are connected to? Is it that they just want things to be as easy as possible when it comes to doing things? They don't want to go through a 10-step process. Like, what is it? Is it that they want to like tell the world about that they've donated? What is it that they want? And then what is it that you want? Do you want them to share your post? Do you want them to donate? I mean, we all want them to donate. That's kind of an obvious one. But what are some of the key things that you want them to do? Maybe you want them to sign up to your event or whatever it might be. And then think about their delighters and frustrations. So what are the things that make them really happy and what are the things that really piss them off, okay? So what are the things that they really enjoy? You know, they love it when it's a really simple process. They love Facebook or they love Instagram, but they absolutely hate Facebook, or they're like never going to be on Twitter. Or maybe they just hate it when, you know, you show poverty porn or something. It just really annoys them. Like, what are the things that they love and what are the things they hate? And then what's their IT experience? So where are they? Are they more on Facebook? Are they more on Instagram? Are they not on any social media and they're all about emails? Where is it? What is their IT capabilities? So that's personas. 25 minutes it should take to do one of these personas, okay? So put 25 minutes aside and create one of these personas. You might even be able to do two in that time. This is all just coming from your mind. It's also worth doing it together. So maybe getting two or three of you together and chatting it through. But I mean, I do this in workshops and I only give people 10 minutes and they come up with a persona. So 25 minutes is definitely enough time. Number two, look at your analytics. Analytics is a scary thing, but you don't have to go into loads of detail, okay? The simplest thing to look at is your most engaged posts. Looking at what is it that's popular each month? What was it about that post? Is it because on Twitter, somebody famous shared it and that's why it went crazy? So then it's like, right, okay, why did they share it? Are they already connected with us? If they're not, can we communicate with them? Can then we get them to be an ambassador? Was it because you posted it at 6 o'clock in the evening? And every time you post something at 6 o'clock in the evening, it does better than when you post it at 9 o'clock in the morning. Just look at the most engaged posts and see why. You can also find out a lot about who your audience is, so like the ages and where they are, location and things like that, and when they're online. But keep it simple. This is a really simple kind of analysis that you could do maybe once a month. And again, 25 minutes, get your Facebook analytics up. What worked well? What didn't work well? What have we learned from that? Okay? Just a really simple tool, and you shouldn't be spending hours. People love putting massive analytics reports together, and sometimes they can be useful, but generally no one's ever going to look at them again. So keep it simple, get those three things: what worked, what didn't, and what have I learned? And from what you've learned is what you then go on to do the following month or the following week or whatever it is. Number three, a creativity session. So I've kind of blocked this out in time. So this is where you get your whole organization involved, because I think one of the hardest parts with social media is coming up with the ideas. And like I said at the start, it's kind of like, oh my God, I haven't posted today. What am I going to post? Like, ugh, and you panic and you just post something up. But if you've got this brilliant list of ideas straight off the bat, you're kind of like, you're already kind of like, oh, I can do that one. I can do that one. So get a group of colleagues in a room or online if you're remote. 5 minutes, first 5 minutes, explain what you want to come up with. So is it a particular campaign you're looking for ideas for? Is it a particular channel? What is it that you're trying to achieve? I'm going to share on the next slide, give them a few pointers, basically, kind of get their creative juices flowing. And I'll show you that in a moment. Next 5 minutes, get them to, on their own, just come up with as many ideas, content ideas as they can. So it could be on post-its, could be on a mural board or one of the digital post-it boards, just in their own time, 5 minutes, just get them to put it out there, whatever crazy ideas they've got for a Facebook post, for a video, for a tweet. Tell them to be as specific as possible, but just get those ideas out. Then, 5 minutes in smaller groups, share those ideas and use the yes and method, okay? So this is rather than the, no, we've tried that, it's not gonna work. It's the yes, and we could do this. Oh, yes, and we could do that. So a bit of a conversation sharing some of those ideas. Then you've got a whole bunch of ideas on post-its, virtual or digital. Then you get everyone to vote for their favorite, okay? So give them a couple of minutes, give them some sticky dots, or again, on the virtual boards, you can put voting sessions up and get people to vote for their favorite. And then you, as the digital person or digital team or digital half person, can then take all those ideas, look at those favorites and be like, right, those five, those 10, those three, they're the ones that I'm going to do. And you've got, or maybe you just keep the whole list because they're all brilliant. So you've always got this list of ideas to come back to. Really important to get everyone involved. It's not just your job. Those, if you've got people that are more service delivery in the organisation, they're going to have great ideas of the kind of posts. They're going to have case studies and things. Get as many people involved as possible because everyone's going to have different ideas. These are a few kind of idea starters, so for this session. So video, user-generated content, so kind of how we can get other people to send in photos or ideas and things. Being real, are there any kind of behind-the-scenes kind of charity stuff you could share? Maybe kind of introducing staff members. Stories, what are the case studies? What are the stories that you can tell? Stories is the most engaging posts you can create, and so important. How can you have a bit of fun? Can you do things a bit silly? Can you make a fun reel or do something? Yeah, who knows? Partnership posts. Are there any local organisations or other charities or people that you could partner with and collaboratively on a post to, again, kind of get some of their followers or connect with some of their followers and vice versa? What are the national campaigns coming up? So there'll probably be key campaigns that your charity focuses on, but are there any kind of fun things like that might make a fun post, you know, National Cup of Tea Day or whatever it might be? And then blogs. Have you already got blogs or are there blogs that you could be writing and then sharing some kind of key quotes or bits from it? So that's just a few ideas. I'm sure you can come up with some other kind of creative starters and then run one of those creativity sessions, and you'll probably have weeks and weeks of content stuff to go ahead with. Number four, create a reel. Lots of you, I think, stayed in here from the last session. I didn't go to it, but I think it was on video. Video on social media is really important. I hope that I'm saying the same thing as the last person that was in here. It's only going to get more and more important. So, again, reels don't have to be scary. Reels can feel scary, right? I was scared of reels until about a year ago. I was kind of like, I really need to get into this. Then I employed an 18-year-old at my co-working space. 18-year-olds, they're good at reels. Find yourself an 18-year-old and get them making reels for you, and you don't even have to spend 25 minutes on it. So use your phone, keep it short, maximum of 60 seconds. Think about what makes it shareable. That's what makes reels go further. So is it informative? Is it funny? Is it shocking? Is it relatable? What is it that's making people want to share it? This is tiny, but this is Shelter. This is Marie Curie, and this is NSPCC. So these are just screenshots, obviously, but worth having a look on their Instagram and seeing some of their reels. I know these are big organisations, but I really think that small organisations have a chance of kind of going ahead because they've still not done loads of reels. They're still not going all out there. And I really think you're more likely to get people seeing them. You only have to go on your own Instagram and see that, you know, your feed is all real, video. And you can have a lot of fun with them. And again, once you've got the idea, they shouldn't take long. It can literally just be a scan like this with some text over it, or somebody stood there pointing as you share some key facts. Like, they don't have to, you can edit them on your phone. There's tons of different software. Like, or you can just edit it within Instagram. Like, you don't even need any of these software. You can now add polls to Reels, which you couldn't do before, like you can on Stories. You can just have photos. It doesn't even have to be video. It could be a multitude of photos with some text over it. They don't have to be complicated. But look at the trends, see what's happening. Look at, are there particular music, particular styles, voiceovers. So, you know, you've probably again seen on Instagram and TikTok, there's lots of kind of a bit of a quote from a film. How could you relate that back in a fun way to your organisation? That's something I do quite a lot in my co-working space, and they're always the ones that get the engagement and responses. So don't be scared by reels, give it a go, and don't make it super complex. Just film something, put some text on, put it out there, see what happens. Number five, promote Facebook birthday fundraisers. How many people in the room are not on Facebook Donate? Just one, two, three. That's good, low. If you can get on it, do it. It can be a blooming nightmare, but once you're on it, it's definitely worth it. A couple of things to remember of what makes people donate. So proximity to cause. So that's as in, if you're a cancer charity, it's people that have probably suffered from that, the cancer that your charity is supporting or whatever, that are more likely to donate. So what is, or maybe it's a parent of, or a mother of, or a sibling of. It's obvious stuff, but think about how you can connect with those people. And then also proximity to social judgment, which is always one that we don't really like to admit. But the truth is, when people put Facebook birthday fundraisers out, if it's one of your best mates, you're like, oh God, I'm gonna have to donate, aren't I? Because it's like their birthday. And because if not, your friend's gonna be like, hello, why don't you donate to me? So it is a bit of social judgment there. So think about those things when you're getting people to donate. It's kind of, it's almost a negative thing, but it's true. So promoting a Facebook birthday fundraiser, what can you do in 25 minutes? Create a post with a simple how and why. So put it on your Facebook, maybe share someone who's already done it. Add it to your newsletter, the next newsletter you've got coming up, put in, like, is your birthday coming up? Could you help us fundraise? Think about some of those reasons why they might want to help you. And then 0 minutes is 0.7, which I'm going to show you in a moment, which is thanking people. This is the Encephalitis Society. I did some training for someone from the Encephalitis Society a couple of years ago, and they said they raised £3,000 a month from Facebook birthday fundraisers. Because encephalitis is something that you may or may not have heard of. It's quite a niche health problem. And so people that have it are very close to that charity and are likely to fundraise for it. So if you have got something quite niche and specific, this is a really great way to kind of connect with some of those people that have that proximity to, that are close to your cause. Number six, create three posts using a story. One story, three posts, okay? I talked about the importance of stories. Social media should not just be like broadcast, look at us, donate. People want to hear the why, people want to hear the how, people want to hear those journeys that people have gone through that your charity has helped. People, or you might not be a person, I'm a chair of trustees for an environmental charity. So we have stories of nature improving, but also we have stories of how nature has helped people. So how can you share some of those stories? Find an existing story and maybe an image or a bit of video. Create a short post for Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and then schedule that post, schedule the others for a couple of weeks' time, and you've got them. So think about what's gonna make people really kind of engage in that story. And ideally, you'll have that kind of beginning, middle, and end, or maybe those three posts are the beginning, the middle, and the end. So, how have you seen that improvement? I'm working with a homelessness charity at the moment, and so they've got some brilliant stories of, it's kind of how they became homeless, relatable. Sometimes we're only one lost job away from being homeless ourselves. Then it's kind of how the charity supported them, the journey they went on, and then it's the, I'm not homeless anymore, I've got a wife and a kid and a house. And that story and showing how the charity has helped them along the way is so powerful. So what are those stories and how can you share them? This is Nordoff Robbins, a charity that I worked with earlier this year. They have some brilliant stories of how music has helped people. So again, kind of worth having a look at some of their stuff online. Number seven, I'm probably fast running out of time. Thank your donors. He that hath once done you a kindness will be more ready to do you another than he whom you yourself has obliged. Which means, in normal modern day English, if someone's already donated to you, they're more likely to donate again than someone that you've done something nice to, I guess. So once people have donated, how can you like thank and appreciate those current donors? They're the ones that are likely to donate more, that are maybe to become regular donors or bigger donors in the future. Number 8, what? Stop asking for money. This is the mistake that a lot of people do with social media. Every post, donate to us, here's a thing, and please donate to us, and here's another thing, and please donate to us. You're just gonna annoy people. Again, the homelessness charity that I've worked with, I gave them this tip. They were putting donate on pretty much everything. They've stopped doing that. 90% of their posts, they're not putting donate, and they've already seen an increase in donations on Facebook. Because you're better putting the thing, putting the emphasis into what you're doing, sharing the stories, sharing the information, and then at some point you might ask for donation. Another great example of this is Shelter. Look at Shelter's Facebook. They are almost never asking for donations. They sometimes have a link to their website where people can donate, or they might have a link to where people can sign up to a petition, where again, you're kind of getting them on your newsletter list because people are more likely to donate to you from your newsletter than they are from social media. So use social media to kind of get those contacts to build that community and connection, and then you can ask for the money. So Shelter don't ask for donations, but then they do lots of retargeting on Facebook, which is where they'll see people that have been to their Facebook page. It happened to me. I was looking at their Facebook page. I went, I liked their Facebook page, and now I'm getting adverts from them where they are asking me to donate. They know that I'm already interested, and then they've got this really strong message using big words like it's unacceptable and disgraceful, and asking people to donate. So how can you take people on that journey so that you're not just asking them straight off the bat? Share stories, make your website clearly findable on your social pages. Is it at the top? Is it taking people to the donate page? Is your donate page good? I'm not going to get into kind of what makes a good donation page right now, but you know, can they find it if they want to donate without you actively asking them? And encourage signups to your newsletter. Again, kind of make the links clear of where people can do that. And don't just create a post saying, sign up, try a newsletter. Give them a reason, tell a story and say, want to know more? Sign up. And maybe you want to create a post telling them why your organization exists or how you've spent the money. Show them the benefits. Make them want to find out how to donate. Make them want to click on the donate button at the top of Facebook and not just kind of like, oh, there's money again. So don't ask so often. This one, not directly to social media, but I wanted to add it in. Is anyone on Easy Fundraising? Good, lots of you are. Similar to Amazon Smile, the Giving Machine, make sure you're on all of them. If you're not, spend 25 minutes, get your charity signed up, and then you can encourage people to be ambassadors. They can share it with their friends. You can fundraise yourself. You can get all your staff on board fundraising. You can have little friendly competitions. Once people are on there and they add in the little plugin, you can basically, when I buy anything, almost anything, I get this pink thing that appears when I search something in Google, and I click that rather than the direct link. And anything I spend on that website, a percentage or 3% or 2%, it depends on the website, goes to this is a charity I'm trustee for. Peak District National Park Foundation. So, and we have some volunteers who are kind of charity ambassadors. There, we've got one girl who's about 20, and she's basically, most of these 86 supporters are like her friends and Facebook followers, that she's like, guys, sign up, support the Peak District. And we're not doing anything. It's not big money. It's not going to get you thousands and thousands, unless you're a big charity that can get thousands and thousands of people on it. But it's unrestricted funding, it's small amounts, and it's something, again, you can share on social media. And then finally, the coffee strategy. Social media is called social media for a reason. People forget that. It's not just a place where you just talk me. You're meant to be social. You want to engage with people, engage with other charities, engage with your followers, respond to comments, thank people. How can you engage? Look in Facebook groups, are you allowed in them as a charity? And can you comment as a charity under something that's relevant? Are there other posts that you see that you could respond as your charity? How can you get your name out there a bit more on social media? Oh, gone too far. So the coffee strategy, we've got your cup of coffee. Again, probably doesn't have to take 25 minutes. Drinking your coffee, find some hashtags, find some people, some organisations, some keywords on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. Have a look, see what's relevant. Oh, I could reply to that tweet. Oh, I could share that. Oh, I could comment on that Facebook post. Leave something interesting that's adding to the conversation. Again, don't just broadcast. And then find another one and do the same. And repeat until you've finished your coffee or tea or whatever you're drinking. A nice little morning or mid-morning job. To make it easier, it's worth creating kind of like Twitter lists or maybe having a list of key organisations. Like maybe if you're a local charity, other local charities. It's always worth like connecting and supporting each other, because you never know what that could lead to in the future. And then final, key things you should be doing every day. Responding to messages, replies, shares, engage, like the coffee strategy, and then just checking. You've got some scheduled posts. Are they relevant? Has something happened in the news that you absolutely shouldn't share that post, need to remove it? Is there any last minute news that you should create a post about, or anything in particular that you know, really think, yes, this is the day to do it? Set a timer, focus, and it's amazing what you can achieve in 15 minutes or 25 minutes a day. And I hope that ultimately it will improve your digital fundraising. Thank you. Okay. How important is it to vary content across your social channels, so not posting the same thing across every platform? Okay. In an ideal world, they should be different, because really your audiences are always going to be slightly different. Instagram, generally younger. TikTok, even younger than that. Facebook. I feel like everyone just says Facebook is mums. It's more than mums, but it does seem to be the target. So in an ideal world, yes, it should be varied. In reality, if you're a small charity that only has one person, I wouldn't stress about it too much. If you can slightly tweak things, so on Twitter, you probably wouldn't share everything on Twitter that you would share on Instagram and Facebook. Again, quite a different audience. Twitter and LinkedIn, quite similar, because it's more like B2B, connecting with businesses, connecting with other charities. So that might be more similar, and then Facebook and Instagram might be more similar. But maybe you like word things differently. Maybe you're a bit, for a younger audience on Instagram. And if you're going to get into the Reels and get into the TikTok, that would probably, again, be Instagram Reels and TikTok could be similar, but probably wouldn't be the same as what's on Facebook. So ideal world, yes, they should be different, but reality, we don't have a million people to help us. So which platform do you think is best for donations? You mentioned Facebook, but what about Twitter, tipping, or TikTok? On the whole, it's Facebook. It's what people know the best. It's easiest. It's been around the longest. You can do stuff on other platforms. It's worth giving it a go. And Instagram, I mean, Instagram and Facebook, same people. So there's stuff you can do. But I mean, sometimes it's worth thinking about how you use them and what you're more likely to do. Like Instagram is very much more it's getting a bit more, they're making it a bit easier to kind of add links and things, but it's still not quite the same as Facebook. So if you're going to focus somewhere, I'd definitely say focus Facebook, unless your audience is very much like on LinkedIn or, I don't know, or Twitter or whatever. If your audience is somewhere else, focus where your audience are most. But yeah. Other questions? So ideally they should have a call to action, but that call to action could just be like or comment, or asking them a question is often the best way. I wouldn't put like a link on every post. The Facebook algorithm is a mythical beast that I like to think I understand, but I don't think anybody, even people at Facebook, understand. But some things that people say is kind of, if you have links and everything, it's less likely to favour your content. So maybe if there is a link, you could put it in the comments after. But it's a mystery. The key to good content is good content, which sounds like ridiculous, but this is why I said it's better to have quality over quantity. Like, think about the post. Would you want to engage with it? Like, I think so many people just put posts out because they need to put posts out without really thinking about what's going to interest people. People beat the algorithm because they create good stuff a lot of the time. Like, you know, it's harder. You can't fully beat the algorithm because they want you to spend lots of money, but there's things you can do to just make your posts more engaging. Just on a purely personal level, on my blog, I know, on my Instagram, when I post really beautiful pictures of the Peak District, they do really well. Like, but it has to be a really good quality picture of something beautiful that, for me, I'm like, it doesn't matter what I say, but like, it's what does your audience want? And then you start to really learn. And sometimes I'm like, oh shit, I haven't posted anything for ages. What am I gonna do? And I just post, I don't know, a cup of coffee on a table, and it's like boring. We've seen that a million times. So yeah, hopefully that answered. Yeah. I guess initially it's about having a clear policy. So having those clear kind of do's and don'ts of what you'd allow and what you wouldn't, and also having some examples of the kind of posts that would be okay and the kind of posts that wouldn't. Because there's always some really clear things that you don't want to do. Like, you don't want to get too political, or you don't want to share certain types of photos, or you can't share photos of young people unless you've got permission and things like that. But I would say trial it. It is tricky with volunteers. Sometimes it might be that you let them use it. Maybe you've got an event and you're like, right, you can do the stories for us and see how that goes. So I would kind of do it bit by bit. But ultimately, it's about them understanding what they can and can't do and giving them a go. Maybe say post once this week and we'll see. And, you know, but the other thing is, if you are a charity that is trying to target young people, TikTok is a bit different. TikTok, I would give them a bit more free rein, because that is what's going to work. It's, you know, you kind of almost need to be a little bit more out there and give them, you know, and if it goes wrong, the worst thing you can do, you can delete it. But like, it can be a little bit more, not controversial, but like a little bit. You know what I mean? If you're on TikTok, you know what I mean. If it's young volunteers, I'd say have a go with TikTok. If not, the other option is get the volunteers more like, you know, getting photos out and about, sending you content that you can post, so they don't have the overarching power, I guess. Any more questions? Yeah?
If you're planning some posts, using that account, if you're going to stick more of your time into the visual elements or the content itself, what's the best?
Do you mean in terms of,
if you're going to put together some images to accompany a post, or is it better to put a bit more time into thinking about the wording behind it?
I'd say images and video generally. The stories. A photo, you know, an image speaks 1,000 words or whatever that quote is. The image is important, is the most important, but the text and the story that goes with it is still important. But sometimes it really depends what you're trying to do. Like, not every single post is going to be a story about a person or a beneficiary or whatever. But if there is a story, it could be something, it could be a simple quote that you add. It doesn't have to be like a ream. But yeah, generally photos. And this is where getting, it's something, it's a cultural thing that I think is really hard. And it depends how big your organisation is. But this is where getting everyone on board with finding those stories, with taking those photos, makes the job of the social media manager, fundraising manager, digital manager, whatever, easier, because that is often the hardest part can sometimes be finding the content, finding the photos, finding the stories. But if you've got people bringing them to you, it's part of the culture that people understand why those stories are important to help get more people support your charity. It's letting your organisation, everyone in your organisation appreciating that, and not, because sometimes it is, it's training, it's culture of people thinking, oh, he's posting on social media, what's the point in that? It's really showing them the benefit, showing them why sharing their stories of them with the beneficiaries is so important. Nordoff Robbins, which I showed you before, they have a really great process. So like 80% of their staff are people that actually deliver music therapy. And so they have three times a year, each music therapist has a point in one of those three times a year that they have to send in at least one story, and they have to fill in a form, they have to send a photo or they send a video, and then the comms team get that and then they decide how they're going to use it. Sometimes it's a press release, sometimes it's a full-on, they're like, this is amazing, we need to make a full-on video. Sometimes it's just a social media post, sometimes they don't use it, but it's like part of the culture and part of people's job that they have to be finding those stories. So it shouldn't just be you, because otherwise it's like, it's a losing battle. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast and found this content helpful and would like to attend the 2023 Be More Digital Conference, you can purchase tickets through the charitydigital.org.uk website today.
We hope you enjoyed this Charity Digital podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Charity Digital. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Thanks for listening.